This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Utopia Media's Solar World. We're about to speak to Ed Van Herrick, who is a spokesperson for San Diego Gas and Electric. Welcome to Utopia Media's Solar World.
Thanks, Mark.
We're talking today because the company that you work for has signed a big deal with Sterling Energy Systems in Phoenix to produce solar electricity for your customers. Could you give us the gist of that agreement?
What San Diego Gas and Electric has done is it's contracted to buy 300 megawatts of solar power, and with the potential to grow that to 900 megawatts within 10 years. The project will be one of the largest solar facilities in the world when fully constructed.
When will the construction start?
We expect the construction to start in 2008, and we expect to start taking power from this at the same time.
Okay. What's precipitated this agreement at this time? Why has San Diego Gas and Electric decided to go ahead with this large investment in solar?
Well, in part, it's driven by the state's mandate to have 20% of our customers' energy needs supplied with renewable energy by 2017. But we've taken that a step further, and we've pledged to make the 20% energy available to our customers by 2010. You know, that's a marked departure for SDG&E. Several years ago, it received less than 1% of its power from renewable resources. And right now, this year, we're supplying about 5.5% of our customers' energy needs from renewable resources.
And then how is that working out on a financial basis for the company?
Well, there are benchmarks that are set by the PUC.
Right.
In this particular case, for years, solar power has been around, but it's been marginalized because of its cost.
Right.
What we're finding now is that with advances in solar technology, plus rising energy costs across the nation, solar is becoming competitive.
So it's really a convergence of higher fossil fuel prices and lower solar energy prices, they're crossing.
Well, they're suddenly competitive.
Right.
Now, there's also some things that are very attractive about solar power for us.
Okay.
Solar power, of course, isn't available 24 hours a day.
Right.
It's available primarily only when the sun shines.
Right.
In that particular case, it is most available on the hottest, sunniest days of the year.
Right.
And that's when our customers are cranking up their air conditioning. And that's when we need what's called peaking power the most.
Right.
So it's a real good marriage between our needs and the potential of this technology.
So it's that particular peak point that either leads to rolling blackouts or really high prices, and this is what Enron made a lot of money out of, and what you're saying is that solar has the advantage that it's most present and it's generating the most power at the time when the power is most needed.
That's exactly right.
What is going to decide for you whether you're going to expand it from the initial installation to more?
Well, you know, that'll depend on the factors as this develops. You know, we're excited about the first phase, and first things first.
Right.
You know, once that's up and running, we certainly look forward to the options to expand this. We'll just have to assess things as they go along.
Okay, let's talk just a little bit about the technology here. This is not a photovoltaic system. It's a solar thermal system. What's the difference, why has this form of solar energy taken off where the photovoltaic option hasn't so far?
Well, there's a lot of photovoltaics around. I won't say that it hasn't taken off.
Right.
But solar thermal is especially useful in large concentrated power plants.
Okay.
And you know, this is an emerging technology, and we believe it'll meet our needs.
Where are these installations going to go?
First of all, just to make it clear, we will be buying the power, and Sterling, our contractor, is going to be building the facilities.
Okay.
And they expect it to take up to 3 square miles in the Imperial Valley, which is east of San Diego County.
Okay. Now, fortunately, California has lots of desert with a lot of sunny days in it, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And how are you going to get the electricity back from the plant into your customers' homes and businesses?
Well, that's That remains an issue for us.
Okay.
And here's why.
Talk about that a little.
Yeah. San Diego is what's known as transmission constrained. The transmission lines that we have running into the county are basically fully loaded.
Right.
We have bought every available cost-competitive source of renewable energy that's available in the county.
Right.
We're going to need to go outside for it to receive the other thousands of megawatts that we're going to need to reach our 20% goal.
Right.
We're going to need new transmission.
And what's involved with that financially, technically, administratively, from the regulatory point of view?
Well, we're going to need approvals. And we're going to need siting authority.
Right.
It's a complex siting approvals process. The cost will be determined by the exact route. It is a large and complex undertaking. Right now we are beginning to solicit community input to determine what works for them.
What are the limitations? What are the problems that might arise that communities might complain about? How are you going to address those concerns?
Well, you know, we don't know that exactly yet.
Right.
That's why we're getting the public input.
Right.
And, you know, once we have their specific take on it, we'll be in a position to address those questions.
Let me ask a slightly ignorant question. Are there ways to underground large transmission lines?
Some have been undergrounded. The cost goes up significantly.
Right.
And ultimately, the costs are reflected in rates. Which gives us a strong incentive to provide reliable power resources that remain safe, but at the same time keeping a close eye on costs.
Okay, say a little bit if you can about further trends in the reduction of cost of solar and increased costs for fossil fuels, and how that could make what you're doing here an even better investment than it seems to be now, and whether or not you're going to be possibly able to export electricity from your own area or from this plant that Sterling's building to other areas that aren't so fortunate when it comes to having so much open space with heavy sun input all the time.
Well, I think it's probably premature to address those questions. Right now, we have a significant need of our own.
Right.
And we're going to have to meet that before we even take a look at the questions you're raising.
Okay. And say a little bit, though, about the reliability. You've said, of course, the sun only shines during the day, but it isn't subject to OPEC boycotts either.
Well, it is secure energy in that sense.
And it's domestically produced.
It's close by, and it will supply energy when we need it most.
Okay.
And those are very attractive qualities, and given that the price is competitive, it clearly fits into the resource mix that we feel we need to keep our customers supplied 24/7.
Now, is there any benefit to your customers or to you as a company of the fact that a installation of this size is going to reduce the unit cost of these solar electricity producing machines to the point where it might be feasible? San Diego itself is a pretty sunny place. Whether it might become feasible to put versions of these apparatus in neighborhoods or in individual properties?
Well,
or on the top of roofs of big buildings?
Well, these things, the particular units that are going to be installed by Sterling, are approximately 40 feet high.
Right.
What typically has worked better in urban areas has been photovoltaics.
Right.
They're relatively easy for homeowners to build,
right,
put on their houses. They also fit on square roofs. Without creating aesthetic problems.
Right. Do you have a policy to encourage that now?
What we have in place is what's called a net metering program.
Right.
And here's how it works. The photovoltaic panels are putting out their maximum input during summer afternoons.
Right.
Well, that's often when a lot of people are at work.
Right.
So what you have in many cases is the home array is producing more energy than the house is using.
Right.
They can send that back into our grid, and that will cause their meter to run backward.
Right. And do you have, are there subsidy programs or other ways in which you encourage homeowners or business owners to install photovoltaics and run their meters backwards?
The state has subsidy programs.
Okay.
And they can pretty much find out about that when they hire an installer.
Okay. How popular within your area is that? Is there a lot of that?
Yeah, these systems are very popular. Several years ago, we saw that we had a year when only 11 people applied for it.
Right.
But since then, we've had over 800 this year.
Right.
And if you take a look at it, the numbers are small, but the trend is unmistakable. More and more people are turning and looking to this as an option to their energy bills.
Okay, could you wrap up by just summarizing what the arrangement is going to be between you and Sterling Energy Systems and what the timetable is and what the importance of it is for your business?
Sure. Again, what we're going to be building, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Again, what we're going to be buying is between 300 and 900 megawatts of solar energy from Sterling Energy Systems.
Okay.
We're excited about this. It not only helps us meet the state goal, but it also helps with an energy diversity portfolio that provides a unique set of backup circumstances for our customers' energy needs. We do expect this to come online beginning in 2008, and we are looking for this to be a significant investment both for ourselves and for our customers. Our customers have indicated that they want, environmentally friendly technologies, this is a significant step forward in that direction.
Okay, good. I want to thank you for taking it, and I want to thank you for talking to us on Solar World today.
You're welcome.
Thanks again.
Bye.
Bye.